It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Christmas edition of Fresh Oil. I'm so glad you joined me today. In the book of Luke, the Bible tells us that at the time of King Herod in Judea, there was a priest by the name of Zechariah, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. She was the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And one day, while Zechariah is performing his duties as a priest at the temple, he gets a visit from an angel. And like most of us would be, he was startled, and the Bible says he was gripped with fear. He and his wife had no children, and her womb was barren, and they were getting up there in age, and the angel said, "I've got good news. Your prayers have been heard, and you're going to have a child. Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and you're to give him the name of John." Now, that's an unusual name because sons were usually named after their father. Zechariah's real smart in how he handles this with the angel. He says, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Notice he says, "I'm an old man," but he doesn't say she's old. He just says, "She's well along in years." A little PC in the BC. Now, the angel Gabriel tells him, "Because you don't believe me when I told you the news, you're going to be mute until the child is born." Now, the baby's born and everybody's happy. Zechariah still can't speak. And it comes time for the child to be circumcised on the eighth day. Everybody is just assuming his name will be Zechariah after his father. So Elizabeth speaks up and she says, "No, his name shall be John." So they go to Zechariah to get a second opinion, and he motions for something to write, a tablet to write on. And he writes down, "His name is John." And immediately his mouth is open and he can speak. Now, after waiting all the long months to speak, the priest Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, he finally gets a chance to talk. And so he gives this great prophecy that is found in Luke 1:67, and this is what it says. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, before Jesus was ever born, God sends his cousin as a forerunner. And Zechariah gives this amazing prophecy, not too much about his son, but about his future nephew, Yeshua, that we call Jesus here in America. And he says, God has raised up a horn of salvation for us. See, the name Yeshua means God's salvation. And here, the very first prophetic word about Jesus in the New Testament is that he shall be called a horn of salvation. See, the real message of Christmas is about salvation. It's not about a stable, a manger, or even a Christmas tree. It's not about Santa Claus and gifts. It's about God's free gift of salvation. Now remember, not only did the angel tell Zechariah and Elizabeth what the name of their son would be, but he also told Mary and Joseph specific instructions about the child that Mary would bear. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "She shall give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Yeshua," or as we call him, Jesus, "because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Yeshua, God's salvation. Imagine every time Mary would call her child to come in for lunch, every time she would tuck him in for bed at night, she would call his name God's salvation. See that beautiful verse in John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world," listen to this, "but to save the world through him. See, friend, the real story of Christmas is God's salvation. Years ago, a small town newspaper carried a letter sent in by one of its subscribers, and she had gotten a thank you note from her grandson after he'd recently stayed with her and her husband for a few days, and the letter went like this. Dear Grandma, I had lots of fun at your house, and I'm sorry I dug up all your plants. I'm sorry I used a whole roll of toilet paper, and I'm so sorry I put it in the toilet. I'm so sorry I tried to flush it down, and I'm sorry the water went all over your floor. I'm so sorry I bothered your neighbors. I'm sorry I made Grandpa mad. I'm sorry for putting sand in your rainwater. I'm so sorry I lost 3 spoons, Grandma. Can I come again in a few weeks in the summer? Your grandson, Gary. Now, what would you say if you read a letter like that from your grandson? You'd say, no problem. Come on down. I love the moments with my grandsons. You see, and yet, since the beginning of time, God has been sending his children a love letter of unconditional love and acceptance. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter all the things you've done wrong in your life. God says, I've decided to forgive it all. Saying to his children, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've strayed, I'm here to take you back. I still want to be your God, and I still want you to be my people. 2,000 years ago, God sent this world his love letter, wrapped in a manger, born of flesh, into this world that rejected him. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it said, therefore, that's one of my therefore verses, you stop and see what it's there for. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That means God with us. 2,000 years ago, God said, look in the manger. There's my love letter to you, saying, I still want you. I still want to be your God. You'll find the virgin with child and give birth to a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel. You know, the book of Isaiah has more messianic prophecies about the birth of the Messiah, than any other book in the Bible. And at the time Isaiah penned these words from God, Israel was in a very low place. Syria was besieging Judah. King Ahaz was basically undermining Israel, selling them to be slaves. And Isaiah gives him a word not to worry about the attack, but the king doesn't receive the word. And so God speaks through the prophet Isaiah here in Isaiah 7:14, and he says, okay, I'm not going to just give you any old sign, but I'm going to give you a sign that's so impossible in the natural, it could only be a miracle. So he said, the virgin will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. See, Jesus was called by many names. Yeshua was his given name, which meant God's salvation. He's called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. But here in Isaiah, the prophet ascribes that name, Emmanuel. In Hebrew, it means God with us. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Word became flesh. In John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What was the purpose of the incarnation? What was the reason behind God sending his son? You see, it was the gift that God would give the world, was the gift of his presence. Emmanuel means God with us. So God was saying, this child is going to be called Emmanuel. God's presence come to earth. The great theologian A.W. Tozer, he wrote a book entitled Experiencing the Presence of God. And he makes this statement that I think is profound. He says, most Christians are theological Christians. They're attempting the impossible. They're trying to be happy without a sense of presence. See, Tozer also said, we should come to church not anticipating entertainment, but expecting the high and holy manifestation of God's presence. What God gave us in the manger at Bethlehem was his presence. Jesus became God in the flesh, and God came down to show his love for mankind through his Son, Yeshua, God's salvation. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus reminded his disciples, he said, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, even though Jesus was resurrected from the dead, even though he ascended back to the Father and went back to be in heaven, we still have his presence here today through the Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit so the presence of God can be with us no matter what we're going through. I remember reading the story in Genesis of the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve would walk with God in the cool of the day. Every morning, God would come down and walk with them. And they encountered this fellowship with God, but it was sin that broke that fellowship. And God prophesied that one day this fellowship would be restored. He told the snake, he said, "You're going to bruise the heel of the woman, but her seed will crush your head." See, he was given a prophecy about the future Messiah who would one day come and destroy all the works of the enemy. I want to share with you a few scriptures before I close today on this concept of Emmanuel, God with us. In Leviticus chapter 26, back in the Old Testament, God said this in verse 11, "I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people." And then in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 27, he says, "My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." God has always desired that same fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when he would come down in the cool of the day and he would walk with them. Have you encountered and experienced the presence of God in your life, my friend? The greatest present you could receive this year for Christmas is to ask him into your life. Just by saying, "God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for me and that he rose from the dead after 3 days. Come into my life. Make me new again." You see, in Zechariah 2 and verse 10, it said, "Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming and I will live among you, declares the Lord." Jesus came down to live among mankind. He offered his life as a ransom for many, and he died for all the sins that you will ever commit, and he paid the price. Now, the Bible teaches us that there's coming a future day when we will behold him and we will be like him. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye and forever be in his presence. The good news is you don't have to wait for that day. God loved you so much that he sent his Son. He walked among us, he died, and he rose again. And the Bible says now he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. One of the biggest lies that the devil could ever tell you is that God has abandoned you and that you're not acceptable to him anymore. My friend, God's love for you is unconditional. If you listen to Fresh Oil, you usually hear me say that every day. I just want you to know that he desires a relationship with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. I so appreciate the opportunity to share with you on this Christmas day the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive, and that is a relationship with your Creator. See, friend, I don't consider myself religious, but I am righteous because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And he wants you to experience that same freedom. Walk in grace. He loves you. He does.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.